This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds as we make our way to the playoffs. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Joining us for his weekly visit, two-time Stanley Cup champion, two-time NCAA champion. We just saw the NCAA championship, so we need to mention that Craig had two of them. 17 years in the NHL with the Montreal Canadiens, with the Minnesota North Stars, New York Islanders, and your Dallas Stars. Craig Ludwig, how are you?
I am good. And I just for the record,
did I miss a team? Did I miss a team?
No.
Okay.
No. Thank God I'm not like some of them other guys. You go down the list of them, they played for eight NHL teams.
Yeah, so. No doubt.
Yeah. I was gonna say we've got a couple guys with the Dallas Stars organization that are alums of Michigan. So
that's right.
The night that we skated the next morning, and Al Montoya and the great Marty Turco came into the room. And so that was the first thing came out of my mouth. And and I just told him, I said, I just want to let you know, for the record, a week prior, I had picked Denver to win the championship. And they're like, no, you didn't. You're just jumping on the wagon. I said, no, I hadn't. I got no skin in the game. They got 12 NHL picks and they got a pretty good goalie.
Yeah.
And I don't follow college hockey, you know, like probably everybody else would that's in that world. I just kind of pay attention to certain little things. And so anyway, so Nostradamus pulled it out again.
You did. Yeah, you absolutely did. I absolutely love the system that the NHL has where players can get drafted and then remain and go to college. I think that's been a game changer for college hockey as far as attendance, draw, interest, media. I just feel like it's an emerging college athletic programs that, like, they're showing up in, obviously, Arizona State, and you're getting more and more programs that are jumping on the college hockey bandwagon. It's pretty cool.
Well, Arizona State's going to have their state to themselves.
Yeah, they really are, Craig. It's funny. I had that on my list to talk to you about. I want to know Craig's favorite memories or memories playing in Arizona.
Well, the one that immediately comes to mind because it pops up all the time when we got events and stuff going on is when apparently I broke JR's hand or finger, Jeremy Roenick, and then 10 seconds later, Darian Hatcher came and knocked him out of commission.
Yep.
So that's kind of the one that stands. Otherwise, you know what? It was a new team at the time. It was kind of, you know, in the middle of nowhere and all that kind of stuff. But again, it's Arizona, so we can find good bars everywhere. So, you know, it was in my opinion for me, but I look at them all the same. It was just another stop on the schedule, you know?
Okay.
So I feel good for the players that can now, you know, that the particular group that's there now that can get out instead of playing in a, you know, I don't even want to call it a college building. I don't even call it a minor team, like a U18 team building.
Yeah.
And get out of there and get in front of some, you know, the amount of fans that they want. And I coached out in Utah, and our farm team first year when I was done, I went to Michigan where the farm team was for the first year. And then the next year it got moved out to Salt Lake, and great crowd, great hockey people. They had a great building at the time. They'll have even a better building now. So they're going to enjoy it. They're going to be bombarded, I believe, with fandom and, you know, a new sport and, you know, coming into Utah. A little tough getting around the strip joints and bars, you know, because they got some alcoholic laws there.
They do.
You know,
yes.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah. Stick tap to Frank Saravelli, who's been all over this story and provided some further depth regarding not – let's just not talk about the arena. Let's talk about issues as far as hotels on the road getting paid, as far as, you know, the plane that the players travel in. And there was just a whole bunch of stuff that I think will more and more will emerge. So it's more than just can't get arena. The interesting aspect is ownership still has the right to get a new arena and then seek an expansion franchise in Arizona. So the circus might continue, but it is good to see that hockey will be alive and well because, you know, they have some good prospects coming through the system. And now with some financial backing, you know, they have some good players on their current team. Clayton Keller is a heck of a player. So just wanted to ask you about that. And then I wanted to touch on Stars with a big opportunity to win the West, to become the or they have become the second seed overall in hockey. So if the Rangers get bounced, Stars get home ice throughout. You had mentioned at the beginning of the year on this podcast, as far as stages, there's preseason and then there's regular season. And then you talked about the extra season being playoffs. And now that it's playoff time, what, can you go into depth as far as this season and what needs to change as far as players?
Well, I think you just – everybody starts all over again. You have to understand that Jason Robertson is going to end up leading the team over the course of the regular season. Jamie Benn, Wyatt Johnston – you know, the new guys that have come in there, Thomas Harley, all these guys that have had great, great years, you start all over again. You start from scratch. Your stats are gone. You can't look at your numbers anymore. But you're better off to be on the high side than the low side, obviously. But then on the other side of the coin, guys that didn't have, you know, the kind of season that they would have wanted to, whether it's individually, collectively, or as an organization, that can all put – be miles behind you when you are, let's just say they end up getting LA, which it may look like that. LA can come in here and say, yeah, we're finishing in that last spot and we're playing one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. So that means the pressure is all on them. And we start on the road and all that kind of stuff. So you got to deal with that. They've got nothing to lose. I mean, you're looking at LA or Vegas, whoever comes in here first, we're coming here. Now this is what they always say. I call bullshit. But they always say, we just got to win one game. And you know when you say that after you lose game one. We just came here to win one game. Well, that's wrong. You go there to win the first game and you win the second game, and you'd rather have a two-game lead going into your building, you know, knowing that you can close it out, or you even got to take one out of your building, then you can go back on the road, then you can still come back home. So it's just – it's a different mindset. And I think that – with Dallas, very similar to the teams that I was on when I was a young guy and when I wasn't a young guy, and you've got young guys in your group, there's enough guys with skins on the wall, and I'm talking about Pavelski and Duchesne and Ben and Sagan, you know, guys like that that have been on that side. And now they've got, you know, that middle group, and then they've got that younger players. And so they're going to be able to relay, you know, all of those things, and they're going to let them know, hey, Wyatt, you know, just keep on going, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult in the playoffs, and maybe not, you know, hopefully it's not. Hopefully Wyatt Johnson and that line and all three of their lines that have been scoring goals all year continue to go on. And, you know, for your goaltending, I mean, I'm sure Jake is going to reflect back onto that Calgary series, how good he was against them, and his game is getting, you know, the good news is his game is rounding into shape right now, you know, and what a perfect time for a goaltender to basically be, you know, on the top of his game or as close as he can be. So, you know, there's all those little things. And I think you just, it's not going to be, don't let the number 8 seed fool you. Don't let the record during the regular season fool you, because things are different in the playoffs. and it's a tighter checking game. Generally, there's not as much free ice out there, and you really get dialed in on the other team. There's a lot of pre-scouting that goes on during the regular season, and you know they're this, that, and about the other one. But when you play the same team every other night for 2 weeks, you start to find characteristics and tendencies, and they're going to find them too. They're going to find the areas that Robo maybe doesn't want to go to. They're going to find how Tyler Seguin plays as he's come through the neutral zone and gets to the top of the circles. What does Tyler do more often than not? So, and then they're going to dial in on that. And then you're going to, because my philosophy is, as a defenseman, was always like, I leaned on tendencies from opposing players, their structure, their systems, how they play, in the offensive zone, things like that, their power play. And I would try to just individually, one-on-one stuff, I knew what their plan A was. I knew what Brett Hull wanted to do. I knew what Fedorov wanted to do or whoever I was playing against. And I made sure I took that away first. And I made them go to plan B because I thought I had a better advantage from a one-on-one standpoint, two-on-one standpoint. If I could make them do something that they didn't want to do. And again, you play people night after night, and you even pick up on more things, and you'll know the little injuries, and they try to keep all that stuff under wraps, right? But you'll find out. And so, okay, so the guy got hit on the top of the foot. Oh, okay. So every time that guy's in front of the net, I'm going to make sure somehow the heel of my stick lands on top of his foot every once in a while. So, just those little kind of things, a little gameplay, the things that maybe won't stick out. And if you get the right broadcasters or the right play-by-play guy or the color guys, like let's just say you got MJ, Mike Johnson, who I think is one of the best in the business. Agreed. Obviously, we know Razor's is the best in the business. Razor can keep an eye on those little kind of things. You know what I mean? If you have a defenseman up there, like say it's Kenny Down. So Danny's up there from Jersey. He would pick up on those little things in front of the net that defenseman is doing to that particular forward. So all those little kind of things going to playoff hockey.
Psychology wise, how do you, if you're Jason Robertson and the focus has been on you as far as playoffs the last 2 years, how do you prevent yourself from having a tight stick in the third year of playoffs as far as I got to ramp my game up?
And here's what I think. Okay, I can answer that. Really, here's what Robo's got to do. Robo, to me, you don't play on the perimeter. You go right to the front of the net. You go in, you finish your first one or two. And I'm not talking about running guys through the boards, but you're going to show the other group, because they're going to say, you know what? He doesn't really want to get into the slot area. He likes to shoot from the outside. Set a different tone. But all you're doing is you're adding to it. This is the play. You want the playoff Robo to be here. Has the playoff Robertson been there, in your opinion, that we've seen from him yet?
No, we have not seen the Jason Robertson that we can see in the playoffs.
So that would be my conversation with him. And it's not about, this is not changing your game. We don't want you to change your game. Just let the opponents know that you're going to go to the hard areas of the ice. And maybe you're going to get some ugly goals. Robo, you're going to need Robo to score a couple ugly goals between here and 16 wins. You're not going to score them all from out there. You're going to have to go in there. Sometimes you got to play I'd say third liner, but Dallas, I don't even know what the third line is on Dallas. I would say like a fourth liner. I mean, you look at Smith and DeLandre and, all those guys down there, the way that they play the game, you got to add some of that in the playoffs, and sort of the rest of the guys, Like I said, Dallas was what, number, I don't know, 2-3 in the league, if not right there, as far as goals scored goals, right? I mean, they were right at the top of the league when it comes to scoring goals. And, I don't know who's all at the top. I'm sure Colorado's up there. The Rangers may be up there. But anyway, so the other team knows that. They know that they dine on the goals. And so that's what they're going to try to take away. Let's try to play 2-1 hockey games. Like, we can't get into a shootout with this team. I don't think LA, maybe Vegas would be a little bit more, but I think Vegas has got a, I've always said that about Vegas. I really like their defensemen as a group. So anyway, those, you kind of have to say, we're going to have to play a little ugly. We want to get that trophy. We're going to play a little ugly, and we're going to get some bumps and bruises. And when you come out of a game And you've got, you know, four, five, six guys sitting in a locker room, like, I need ice, you know, at the end of the game. And they're all wrapped up in ice and all this other stuff. You're kind of hoping that it's, you know, one or two of your top players and they got a smile on their face because it feels good. You know, and you got the next day to rest and you'll be fine. And, you know, everybody's got bumps and bruises going into the playoffs. So it's not like anybody can say they're healthy. So I just think you got to have a mindset that, you know, this is going to be a long haul. And we're here for the long one. And if it takes us seven games or six games to beat LA or Vegas, then we're in for the fight. But you got to have fight in you in order to, you know, to get through those battles. And don't let them push you out of the fight. Because, you know, if I'm on the LA coaching staff, I'm going to certain guys and saying, this guy can be pushed out of the game. We're going to focus on pushing him out of the game without taking penalties.
You just mentioned the physicality, which ramps up during the playoffs. A term commonly used is rink gets smaller in the playoffs. From a defensive standpoint, please explain that to our Spits and Suds listeners.
You take time and space away. So, but I'll tell you what, a lot of teams play like that now. We see a lot of hockey that is more like a swarm. So it's not just one-on-one guy going up and down the ice. You bring numbers, and we've all kind of adjusted the game to that. I mean, it's a fast game and the rink gets smaller because it gets physical. There's a lot of swinging in today's NHL game from a lot of teams, a lot of players. I mean, they go in and they could be a stick length away from the guy that's carrying the puck. That guy moves the puck and the defensive player just kind of swings away. Yeah, there's certain players that'll always finish their checks. But again, it's about getting everybody on that same page. And I think the phrase has always been, you want to be hard to play against as a group. And that means right from Wyatt to Robo to Hintz, right down to the Jamie Benns, you know, and I should say right up to the Jamie Benns. You know, those are the guys. Jamie's going to play a physical style. That's who he is. He's going to be in your face, and Jamie wants to drag some guys in there. But again, you know, the playoffs and winning series and stuff are – you know, it's about goaltending and special teams. So you've just got to walk that line, and, you know, you don't want to come out and say, hey, we're going to be this rough, you know, we're going to, but the other thing about Dallas is I don't think Pete DeBoer is going to say, we're going to change our identity. You play 82 games, in my opinion, to form your identity. And then you get in there, because I know that there's been teams when we played or when I played, and it was always like they'd get into the last 20 games of the season and they'd say, okay, now we got to tighten things up because the playoffs are coming. Goals are going to be a little more difficult to come by. Well, why are we playing like that for the last 20? Why don't we just play it all year long? Let's get you. And Montreal did it. Dallas did it. I've heard so many times in Dallas and in Montreal, man, you guys play a boring style. We go there, it's 2-1. It's 3-1, an empty netter. And I said, would you rather have that kind of game and have us win, or would you rather have it be wide open and then have a 50-50 chance? Oh, no. We want you guys to win. So, you know, I just believe that I don't think that you're going to see Pete DeBoer say, okay, guys, now we're going to start dumping pucks in, and that's not going to happen. They believe in who they are. There's a reason they're one of the top, you know, 2-3 teams in the league. And so there's not going to be a lot of change in their game. I think we're just talking about certain guys got to make sure that your opponent, whoever it is, they don't get in your head and they don't start keeping you on the perimeter and you're not as effective. And you may have to get a couple ugly goals. You may have to get a goal where, whether it's Wyatt or Robo or Stanko or whoever it is, get a couple goals that go in off your ass. Get a couple that go in off your leg when you're standing, you know, a foot in front of the goaltender. And that'll be they'll talk about it. Those are the hard working goals. Those are the kind of goals that will win a game, that will ultimately lead to winning a series.
We mentioned the younger players, Robertson, Johnston, Ottinger. Let's talk about some of the veterans. Duchesne without a cup, Pavelski without a cup, Ben without a cup, Sagan got a cup in his rookie year, but hasn't had one since. From a veteran mindset, what's going through their mind?
Hungry. I don't have a lot of runway left. Joe Pavelski's 39 years old. Duchesne, I believe, is 38. Suter, 39 years old. Jamie Benn's, 34, 35 years old. Tyler's 33 years old. They know there's not a lot of runway left. you don't know if you're going to get another kick at the can. And speaking of that, how about kudos to Pav, Suter, and Jamie, especially the way Jamie plays the game. Are they going to play game 82? I don't know. That'll be a discussion that I'll have with the coaches. But they've all played 81 games this year.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So you've got the three oldest guys on your team that have led the way. And you, however you want to look at Ryan Suter, the guy's, you know, I mean, he's almost 40 years old.
I think he's had a great year.
He could still play 30 minutes if they'd allowed him to.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to do what he did when he was 28, 27, 26. But those guys have been there all year long. Now, Dodonov, I don't know if he's going to be back, but I think he may be one of the older guys. He may be 35 or 36, somewhere in there. But again, for those guys, you're not going to see anything different. You're going to see Joe Pavelski tipping pucks. You're going to see Joe get to the front of the net. You're going to see him making passes off the wall to Hintz and Robo. Just the same thing. You know, that's hunger. And that's where the younger guys, and not the young guys, but the guys in the middle that have been around those guys for the last couple of years, whether it's been 2 years, you don't think Wyatt is going to want to win a cup or be part of winning a cup for, you know, his stepdad. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of guys that look up to Joe Pavelski and Jamie Benn, you know, and I think they know, especially what Joe's gone through in the playoffs, you know, when he was in San Jose yeah. and had some injuries and all this other stuff. They all know about that. So they're going to do it for the senior statesman.
That's a great perspective. What do you think of all this playoff madness? This is absolutely insane. I think it's everything that Gary Bettman wants and more. The numbers came out. Record all-time attendance in the NHL. Looks like record revenue in the NHL. This is terrific for the game, and we haven't even started the playoffs. I mean, the fact that you're the Florida Panthers and you lock up one of the toughest divisions and your first-round opponent is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Wow. And then you have Boston, Toronto. You just have some awesome series this first round. I mean, it's just going to be a gauntlet both in the East and the West. It's just going to be so exciting. And the NHL is going to stagger some start times so everyone can get some good hockey in as well. So, you know, I'm really excited for the league, Craig. I think this is terrific. I personally have not seen parity like this. Have you?
No. No, and that all being said, it's the way when you talk about the numbers and the attendance and all this stuff, it's because of the way the game is played now. It's not played like I was just talking about when we played. It's exciting. I mean, how many times did Dallas come back this year? Just speaking of our group here, how many times did they come back when they were down by a couple goals in
yeah,
the third
you're right.
period?
3-0's not
you
safe
know, and
anymore.
Think about it. Like, do you think the fans are going to walk out with 7 minutes to go and they're down, if they're ever down 2 goals to whoever they're playing? They're like, no. We're staying here because we watch these guys come back all year long.
Yep.
But where that's important is in that room. You know, that's the beauty of being able and there are no coaches and no coaching staff, players. Players don't want to have to come from being down 2 goals. They are a goal, sometimes 3 goals. But they can lean on that when it's in the playoffs. They can say, listen, go in the locker room at the end of the second, you're down by a goal or two. Like, we're good. Who's got to panic here? We've been doing this all year long. So that's the good thing of the way that Dallas has gone about their business this year is there's a lot of confidence in a lot of different ways. If Dallas gets their power play clicking, you know, it does a couple things. I mean, obviously it can change momentum if they don't score and they will get momentum from it. Probably the biggest thing it does is it kind of counters exactly what I was talking about before when another team comes in and wants to be a little bit heavier on certain players. They can't be as heavy. When you got a power play that you're playing against that's clicking, you got to be a little bit more careful. That's what may take your foot off the gas because you don't want to be a little bit overzealous and take that little extra run or give a little extra push or bump or the glove in the face because if the referees call it the way, and I think they've been trying to do that over the years because that – you know, it's been said for 100 years is the game is called differently in the playoffs. And I think there still is a little bit of that because I don't think the referees and the linesmen, they don't want to be part of the outcome of a game. They don't want to have to be the one that calls a penalty. That's an iffy penalty in the last 3 minutes of a tie game, you know, and let that be decided. So but they're, you know, if, and you'll know in the first 10 minutes of a hockey game, you'll go, oh, so this is how we're going to play tonight. And you, and guys like Jamie and, you know, Hanser, you know, Miro, you see one of your guys get run and maybe it was a roughing call game 75. You just skate up to the referee and you go, okay, that's fine. We love to play that kind of game. Just remember, you know, you let that get away, then, you know, we get a little overzealous on one, it gets away, and they'll go, okay, we're going to play hockey tonight. So those are the little things that'll go inside there, and the right guys will talk to the referees. And because the last thing you're going to do is, especially one of your captains, is get on a ref. You can't start jumping on them in the playoffs. You got to bite your tongue a little bit, but you got to, you know, schmooze a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So game 82, important for the Stars. If they win tonight, they win the West. However, you have a St. Louis team. And I wanted to get your perspective. You've played on some of these teams, although you played in a lot of playoff teams, but sometimes they're already on the golf course, Craig. Sometimes they just throw it all out there because it doesn't matter. You know, this is the last game of the year. I'm going to put everything into this game. So it'll be interesting what team St. Louis brings to the rink tonight.
Yeah. Even if they've got some younger players in there, those are the ones that are trying to prove that they're going to be there next year. You know, and honestly, what guys will be talking about, and coaches could be talking about it, GMs can be talking about it. You guys are playing for jobs next year.
Yep.
You know, we didn't have the kind of year we want. And so this is going to be a summer of, we're going to make decisions. We want to see who's going to play right to the, you know, right to the end. So I don't expect any back off, you know, from St. Louis. As a matter of fact, I would think that they would. You know, you're a bit of a rival of the Dallas Stars, you know, with Army being the GM there and stuff like that, even though him and Jim Miller are good friends and buddies. But you'd kind of like, let's go in there and let's shove it up their ass tonight. Let's maybe put them on their heels. Let's see if we can get them to kind of second think about, you know, what's happening when they go into the playoffs. I'm more curious about, is everybody going to play? You know what I mean? I'm curious to see, you know, it is, because I can't see any of those guys I mentioned earlier saying, no, I don't want to take a game off. I want to go into it. And then there's going to be the other side of the fence where, let's say, I'm not jinxing anybody. Let's say some player gets hit in the top of the foot and he gets a hairline fracture, you know, and he's one of your top, well, I say top nine, but, you know, you can't sit nine guys out. But, you know, that player, let's say one of the players does, then you kind of get the old, well, the game didn't mean that much. Why did we play him in game 82?
The no win.
You know, that's the tap dance management and coaches have to go through.
All right, let's end on this. Absolutely amazing season for some MVP candidates. We wanted to get Craig's perspective, who he has. We have Nikita Kucherov for the Tampa Bay Lightning. 80 games played, 43 goals, 99 assists for 142 points. We have Connor McDavid doing something that only Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne Gretzky did as far as 100 assists. We have Austin Matthews in Toronto, just an absolute beast. And we have Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado, who basically said, all right, rest of the team, get on my back. Here we go. Wow, this is an awesome MVP race. And I think that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that NHL is just being thrust and it gets the TV deals, because we have some superstars in this league. Who does Craig have as the favorite to win the MVP?
I've got MacKinnon, and I'm going to guess that Kucherov gets it. And I, you know, I don't know if you can go wrong, to be honest with you, any of those guys that you pick. I just think that, and Kucherov, big thing is the discrepancy between him and the next player on that team when it comes to points. Yep. He's done everything for that team. The reason that I picked MacKinnon, he's a bull in a china shop. I think if you're a well-structured team in your own zone and you're playing against Kucherov, you shouldn't have as many open good looks as he gets, I don't want to say that he gets, but what, you know, like Braden Point does when he's feeding him, or Stamkos does. Granted, they're great passing plays. So I just think MacKinnon put that team, like you said, on his shoulders, but there's a guy that plays north-south. I mean, he doesn't play on the perimeter of the ice. He goes through you. And he's, you know, he's not like Wilson in Washington, but he's got that extra gear. He's got that bullish. He's got the Messier part to his game where he can just drive to the middle of the ice. Yeah. He'll finish a check. He's not going to cheap shot anybody. I don't see him as a whiner. You know what I mean? There's times, you know, a guy like that can skate like he can, and you're always getting hooked and you're getting held and all that other kind of stuff. I don't see him whine. But anyway, it's so hard for me, but I just think he does more things that can change a game than making the beautiful pass like Cooch does. You know, and I think Kucherov sometimes can be a little bit lazy and kind of the game's not going his way, but he hasn't been like that this year. I mean, he's kind of proven a point. So anyway, long story, my vote would be for McKinnon. I don't think he's going to get it. I think they're going to give it to Kucherov. I would take Nate McKinnon.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for his impact on the ice. And how
now, what is that award actually for? Is it the best in the league or the best to your team?
Well, that's I think, one of the debates because, you know, you look,
exactly.
if you want to do a deep dive, then you're looking at how many empty net goals, you know, does each have, things like that.
Right.
And you begin to say, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, so to me, most valuable player does have a team element. And
because don't you think the most valuable, if that's part of the category, I mean, if that in the most valuable team, you're going to tell me it's not Sid Crosby?
Oh,
I mean, would that
God.
Team have
yes,
even
yes.
been close to making the playoffs
yes.
if it wasn't for Crosby this year?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if there was any doubt, like, I mean, everyone was talking about how this was going to be a difficult rebuild for Pittsburgh. And it was almost like Sidney Crosby said, did you forget? Like, I'm Sidney Crosby. And
you could pick Hellebuck in Winnipeg.
Yeah,
I mean,
Hellebuck, yes.
I mean, I've been saying all year, I don't believe in Winnipeg. I just don't see it, man. I don't know. I'm wrong on that one. So we'll see. But Hellebuck's been a big reason. But again, I think Bones has got that team playing. That team, there's the perfect example of what I'm talking about. The way that they played all season long, even when they were going through that, they had a shitty stretch there, right? They were bad for 8, 9, 10 games, whatever it was. They played playoff hockey all year long.
Yep.
They played the way that they're going to say, this is how we believe we're going to have playoff success. So that's what I think about. And but again, so is Florida. They feel that way too. So does Monty in Boston. So does DeBoer. So does, I mean, the Rangers. They're not going to change your game. There's a bunch of teams here that have proven to themselves and within those four walls of that locker room that we're going to play the way we are. Now there's a bunch of other teams that are going, okay, we're going to change something here if we're going to beat that team. So, but there's 5, 6 teams there. Carolina, they're playing straight ahead.
Really,
they're throwing
well.
Pucks in the net. They're
yep.
playing straight ahead. So
yep.
it'll be great. The only bad news is, again, I'm not the one that thinks playoff format's got to change and stuff like that. The only bad news is there's going to be 2, 3 good teams out of the playoffs in the first round.
I agree. That's why I want to go back to 1 through 8. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I love that Winnipeg and Colorado are facing each other, but I hate that Winnipeg and Colorado are facing each other. I hate that,
yeah.
you know, the Lightning are facing off against Florida. You know, I do.
But that's a good state thing, right? That's big rivalry thing.
Yeah, and
you know?
Boston-Toronto is going to fly under the radar just a little bit, but for Toronto fans, this is a massive series. Last year, they broke the snide as far as getting into the second round. They have had absolute – they can't get by Boston. So this would be a landmark series victory if Toronto can beat Boston. So
I don't know. We talk about this. I don't know. There could be a Spitz and Suds watching party someplace that the Spitz side of it is going to spring for something, some watching party for your top 10 fans, top 10 listeners.
I will do that. Are you going to pick the venue? Or can I pick the venue since I'm picking up the tab?
Well, that, I think our venues are going to be a little bit different. The venue choice would be selected by the people that would be coming.
Oh. I know what your venue choice would be. And you know what? I might go along with that venue choice. I need some of that in my life.
You know, the only problem is it'll just be you and I there. Nobody else is going to come. Well, no, there'd be a couple dudes that would
there'd
come
be a
show
couple
up.
Dudes.
Yeah.
They'd come and say, where are the TVs? Oh, they're way in the corner.
Who gives a shit about the TVs? We told you this was a watching party, but we're not watching hockey. Right. We never said it was a hockey watching party. Oh, I didn't even know the Stars weren't playing today.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, you got deep dive information today that you're not going to get anywhere else in town because he's a beast. He's Craig Ludwig. You the man, buddy. Get going. We love you. We'll talk to you again.
Got a game.
Soon.
It's game time. Nooner.
Game time. Game time for Luds. And thank you so much for supporting and listening to Spits and Suds. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, everyone.